I have the pleasure now of welcoming Chris. He's going to come and talk to us. And really looking forward to hearing what he has to share. I'm going to step over this way. These strange times we live in, we have to do things differently. And I'm just going to take the opportunity to pray for Chris. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chris. Thank you for his heart for you. Thank you that he loves you. Thank you that his desire is to give you glory and honor and praise. And thank you, Father, for how he has spent time with you this week, wrestled with that sense of what is it, God, that you want to share to us with us today. Thank you for the word you've given him. Let's pray for your anointing on him now as he speaks to us, and pray for our ears, our hearts, and our minds as we listen. Would you do your work, Father, in our hearts and minds as we listen to Chris share his word, put words from you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris. And good morning to you all, wherever you're watching from this morning. And it's good to invite you and welcome you into our space this morning. Thank you, Tom. Look at those hands. All I can see is those hands by the flip chart. It's like an invisible. Thank you, Tom, for doing that. I appreciate that. And I am unashamedly going to wear my hat this morning, I'm afraid. Mainly I could use that as a big way of advertising our knitting group at church, who kindly provided me with my hat. And in fact, many of my hats. And thank you to the knitting team. And as I look around church this morning, I've got Cameron's in front of me. He's made a makeshift hot water bottle with an empty milk carton and some hot water. And we've got people everywhere with hats and gloves, and it's chilly, but it's great to be here. And for those of you who've not met me before, let me introduce myself. I'm Chris, and I'm a part of the team here at Christchurch, and I've been here just over 8 years, and it's my privilege to be able to share with you this morning. And honestly, let me be honest, super honest with you this morning. I've really struggled this week. I found this week hard, and much harder than I expected to. And I think initially the lockdown news this time round hit me harder than I expected it to. And one thing you might not know about me is that oftentimes Christmas and New Year particularly, I find myself reflecting quite a lot on life, and particularly my life and what's going on and what God's doing. And sometimes in certain years, that's not gone very well for me. And I've become very introspective, and it's gone down a few rabbit runs, and I've not actually dealt with that very well sometimes. But this year, I actually felt like I came into 2021 in a pretty good place. I felt like I dealt with that reflective period pretty well. And then Monday happened. And Monday, around 8 p.m., there was this announcement on the TV. And by around 8.05 p.m., I was not in such a good place anymore. By around 1 p.m. on Tuesday, the next day, I was really in a bit of a hole. Felt like I was in a real battle, to be honest with you. And I don't know how you've received the latest lockdown. It wasn't like a surprise, was it? But I was surprised by what happened to me on the inside as a result. And by around 3 o'clock on Tuesday, I had this phrase running around my head. And this phrase was, I felt like the battle lines were being drawn inside of me. That's the phrase I had going around in my head. The battle lines were being drawn inside of me. And by that, what I mean is, it felt like there was this significant internal battle going on for how was I going to respond to the situation in front of me? What was I going to do? How was I going to deal with what the new lockdown and everything that it had to throw at me? What was I going to do? And it struck me as I was thinking about that, and I had this phrase, the battle lines being drawn, running through my head. It struck me in that moment that over the course of this last year and how much we've all faced and whatever we've been going through, how much have we attributed the battles that we faced to the physical reality of our world? Just the fact that there's just been a lot going on. It's been a tricky time, and we've said that a lot. We know we've said that a lot, but I think I've attributed a lot of my battles to just the normal physical struggles of the world. And it's easy to do that at the moment. But what I felt reminded about this week is the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. I felt reminded that I'm not just in a physical battle, that I'm actually in an invisible battle too, that I'm in a spiritual battle. And so I want to try and speak into that a little bit this morning. And I was due to speak on something else this morning. I was due to speak and carry on from where Paul finished off yesterday, last week, in 2 Peter. But off the back of my experience of the week, I felt like the Lord just shift my path a little bit. And so I've chosen and I've felt led by God to do something a little bit different. And so we're going to try and do that today. The team have graciously allowed me to do that. And I'm praying that this is a word that sticks with you today as well. So today, the title of my message, I'm going to use the flip chart today, just so you know, is stepping out of line. Title of my message, stepping out of line. We're going to be focused in two bits of scripture today. We're going to be in 1 Samuel 17 for a bit, and we're also going to be in Ephesians 6. So I encourage you to grab a Bible, and I encourage you to put a marker in Ephesians 6 and turn to 1 Samuel 17. And as you turn there, you'll immediately recognize the title of the chapter and almost certainly the story that comes with it. And I was immediately drawn back into this story when I had that phrase running around my head on Tuesday, the battle lines being drawn. And as I reread over this story this week, I was struck by the amount of times that the battle lines are mentioned in this passage, 1 Samuel 17, the battle lines of David and Goliath. Now, many of us have daily battles going on. You're facing daily battles even right now. Some of you are facing addiction battles. Some of you, you're facing fear and anxiety battles. For some of you, it's like frustration and anger battles. Maybe it's battles over self-worth and rejection. For some of you, you're facing health battles, financial battles. Maybe it's employment battles. Whatever it is, many of us are facing daily battles all the time. It's happening a lot, and it's happening a lot right now. And right at the beginning of this story, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find ourselves with the battle lines being drawn up, and we see that. Now let's pause for a moment and just look at the geography. And I want to just draw this for you. And it's going to be awful drawing because I'm not good at drawing. But I want to just draw for you the geography. What we have at the beginning of this chapter is we have two hills on either side of a valley. And what we have is two hills that represent where the armies find themselves. Now, according to lots of research, the geography is really important here, and we'll come back to that later. Hold this in your mind. The hills themselves were probably not that big, but they were very steep and almost impassable in certain places. That's going to be important for later. Now, what happened was, and you see this in the first few verses of the chapter, is that the armies would have been here and here, and the battle lines probably somewhere along here. Okay, so you've got battle lines and armies. The lines have been drawn up on either side of the valley. Okay? Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that in a bit. Now, we know from reading this text that Goliath is big. He's about 9 feet tall, clearly strong, clearly wearing very heavy armor. Again, that's important. We're going to come back to that later on. And the word champion, when it says champion, a champion in verse 4 named Goliath, it literally means the middle man. That's what champion means. It means he's a middleman. It means that he was someone who the army sent ahead to fight battles by single combat and win the whole battle via single combat with one other person. That was the whole point of Goliath. He was there to look big and scary and to fight one person to determine the outcome of the big battle. We learn from verse 8 in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel that Goliath has a big mouth. He has a big mouth. Shouts for someone to fight. And in verse 11 tells us that Saul the king and his army, the armies of Israel, are what? They are dismayed and they are terrified. Obviously, no one wants to fight this guy. Obviously. And here's a lesson. Quick point. The enemy can present as loud and as big and as scary all the time. Presents himself loud, big, scary. The reality here, though, and David must have known this, I think, was that this enemy, Goliath, was actually slow. That he was actually heavy. And that actually he was much more easily defeated than the army of Israel believed that he was. Just like we have way more authority than we might think in the battles that we face because of the redeeming work of Jesus on the cross. Now, verse 16 tells us that for nearly 6 weeks, 40 days, verse 16, for nearly 6 weeks, the army of Israel stand and they listen to this stuff twice a day for nearly 6 weeks. Nearly 6 weeks. I wonder how many of us could relate to the ongoing and prolonged attack of the voice of the enemy in our life. I wonder if you could relate to that today. And this has to be one of the biggest mistakes that the army of Israel made, right? Was that they just stood and they listened for 6 weeks, twice a day, 6 weeks for twice a day. They listened and they listened and they listened. And as they listened, they became more and more and more scared and frightened, dismayed and terrified. Second quick lesson, quick point here. Learning to silence the voice of the enemy as quickly as possible is one of the best tools that you have in your armory. The longer we listen, the louder it becomes, and the louder it becomes, the more powerful it is, and the more powerful it is, the more likely we are to believe it. Quick tip, when you find yourself battling with something like this, ask yourself this question. Does this thing that I'm thinking right now, does this thing that I'm believing right now sound like something that God would say to me? Does that sound like something that God would say to me? And if it's not, shut it down and shut it down quickly. For nearly 6 weeks, verse 16, for 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and every evening, and he took his stand. Which should have told them something. And verse 23 reinforces this for us. Because it was 6 weeks, but it was like the same stuff. Day in and day out. Just the same stuff, same routine, same usual defiance is the way that it's written in 1 Samuel 17. The same usual defiance. It was the same stuff day in and day out. And I wonder today if some of the battles we face today look and sound familiar. Like it's something that's been going for a while. It looks and it sounds familiar. They listened over and over and over again. And you see, as Goliath took his stand, it would seem that the army of Israel did not take theirs. Verse 24, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear, which implies that they left the line, that they fled the line. Now, if you flick over with me for a moment to Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to come back to 1 Samuel in a second. What is one of the key messages from these verses in Ephesians chapter 6? One of the key messages, phrases that you'll hear. Take your stand. Stand your ground. Stand firm. You see, as Goliath took his stand, it would seem that the armies of Israel did not take theirs. One of the key messages of spiritual warfare, according to Ephesians 6, is to learn to posture yourself for battle, to stand your ground, to take your stand, and to stand firm. And these phrases are so helpful for us. To stand your ground, that phrase there, it literally means to still be standing after a battle. That's what it really means. To stand your ground, to still be standing after the battle is finished. And to stand firm, what that really means is about that you're standing ready for the next one. You see, one of the messages of Ephesians 6 is that there's an ongoing battle and that we are to be, as believers of Jesus, to be postured ready. The army of Israel did not take their stand as Goliath took his. And one of the key messages of battle and spiritual warfare, according to Ephesians, is to learn how to stand your ground. To stand your ground. There's these beautiful worship verses right at the end of the book of Jude, which is towards the end of the New Testament. And they just say this. It says, they say, now to him, God, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. We can stand victorious because of all that he has done in victory for us. Okay, back to 1 Samuel. Enter David into the scene. He enters this scene because his dad wants to give the brothers of David some lunch, and David is the one who needs to carry the food towards the battle lines. And as he arrives, the Israelite army sounds pretty pumped up. It's like they're ready to go. They sound like they're ready to go. It says that they reach, as David reached the camp, as the army was going out to its battle positions, they were shouting their war cry. Sounds like a pretty ramped up environment. And David reached the battle line to talk to his brothers as Goliath does what? Verse 23, stepped out from his line. Goliath stepped out from his line. So now David has stepped up to the line and Goliath has stepped out of his. And then we get later on to verse 38. Between this point and verse 38, a whole host of things have happened. David has basically heard Goliath say his thing. He's spoken to the king about fighting Goliath, and King Saul has basically said, let's go, you can do it. And then we get to this verse in verse 38 where it talks about this bit where the armor of Saul tries to be put on to David. This is what it says. It says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. Verse 39, David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. So David takes a wander and a walk in this new kit that he's got on. And then he says to Saul, I cannot go in these because I am not used to them. Because I am not used to them. Here's what I want to say about the armor. Because we're looking now at two different types of armor. We're looking at the armor of Saul, which represents in this story the human solution. The human armor, the most obvious choice, the way that one person thinks it should be done. And Ephesians, we're talking about another different kind of armor, which is God's armor. It's a supernatural armor. Now we're talking about two different types of armor. And what I want to say to you is that God's armor is designed to fit you perfectly. God's armor is designed to fit you perfectly. It's not designed to be heavy or cumbersome. It's not designed to slow you down. And David essentially went into battle against Goliath with the armor that fitted him best, the one that God had designed him to carry, not the one that a human thought would be best for him. The same is true for us. I once heard someone say, or they asked this person, did you put the armor of God on today? And this person said, no, I didn't put my armor of God on today because I never took it off in the first place. God's armor is supernatural. It's not a human thing. And it's funny, isn't it, that Saul tries to put his stuff on David? And the temptation for David there was because he was like a nobody at this point. The temptation for David, because the king's given him his armor. That's a big deal. The temptation for David would be to receive the human way for a whole host of reasons. Because it would have made sense in so many different ways, wouldn't it? It would have made sense for him to receive the armor of Saul. But he chose not to. And he chose to go God's way. He chose to go the path that God had for him. And I wonder how many of us try to fight the battles in front of us in ill-fitting armor. Or maybe it's just about we're fighting the battles the human way. Or we're trying to operate in the way that we think someone else thinks we should operate, not the way that God has chosen us and designed us to operate. We're working with an armor that doesn't fit us. It was never supposed to. Some of us today are going to need to take off some things. Let me say it again. God's supernatural armor is designed to fit you. Saul's armor was made to fit him. It was designed to fit him. It wasn't designed to fit David. David went into battle equipped with what God had given him, and he took a brave decision to do that. Some of us today I believe, are going to have to take off some armor. We're going to have to repent for fighting battles the human way. It's time to come back to his perfect design, his perfect fit, his supernatural armor. Some of us need to take David's words more seriously, that the battle is the Lord's. The battle's the Lord's. And so David then steps out. This is where we come back to our I was going to call it a map, but this is not a map. Back to our geography for a moment. Because the implication here in verse 40 says this. David, he said to Saul that he can't go in the armor that he gave him. He takes it off. He takes his staff, his shepherd's staff in his hand. He chooses 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch, and had his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. He approached the Philistine. Now back to the geography for a moment, because the implication here in verse 40 is that this is the moment where David steps out of line. This is the moment where David steps out of line. Because the way the geography happens, the first moment where someone has stepped towards the battle from the Israelite army, the stream where the stones were would have almost certainly been in the valley. So this is the first time that a member of the Israelite army has stepped out of line. Because David now, this is the implication of the geography, David now steps across the line to get the stones. David steps out of line, down the hill and beyond the line of battle drawn by his army. And David uses his voice at this point. David uses his voice. He uses his voice to speak truth against the lies of Goliath. Does that sound familiar? Eh? The power of your voice to speak truth into the battle that you're facing is so significant. Please don't underestimate the power of your voice. Let me tell you, for me personally, so much of the spiritual battle I face in my life is to do with the power of my voice. I know that my voice is more powerful than I believe it is sometimes. The power of your voice to speak truth into lies is so significant. And when David uses his voice in these verses, in 3 short verses, a few words, he completely unravels 6 weeks worth of torment. 6 weeks, 3 verses against 6 weeks. And in his speech, David shows us clearly that he understands something that's so significant. What does he say? Let's read it together. This is amazing. So David has got his stones. He's approaching the Philistine, which means he's now making his way closer towards the Philistine line. And he says this. David says to the Philistine, verse 45, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, verse 46, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." And here's the thing, verse 47, "All those gathered," says David here, "all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." What David clearly recognized in this moment, which is something so significant for us as we look into Ephesians chapter 6, is that David realizes that this wasn't just a physical battle. This wasn't just about swords and spears and javelins. This was about the name of God. This is about the name of the Lord Almighty. He says that it won't be by the weapons that humans forged that I will win this battle. Because the battle is the Lord's. And this moment takes us so powerfully back into our verses in Ephesians. It takes us so powerfully back in here. Because what does it say in Ephesians chapter 6? Verse 10. "Finally," writes Paul, "be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and that means that's essentially like whenever you're attacked, it's not just one specific day, it's like whenever the enemy attacks you, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. David understood something of this reality when he came against Goliath. I come against you in the name of the Lord. This is not about your sword. This is not about your spear. This is not about your javelin. This is not about the thing that humans might do. Saul, this is not about the armor that you want to give me, even though you think it's a great idea. I'm coming against you in the Lord Almighty, because I realize, David says, that the battle is the Lord's. Some of us today need to recognize the Lord's battle. It's the Lord's battle. It's the Lord's battle. It's not, our struggle is not against flesh and not against blood. So today, stepping out of line is to boldly say no to fear and to posture yourself ready for battle. Stepping out of line is to bravely reject the human way and to accept God's way. Stepping out of line is to believe that the battle is the Lord's and that he is ultimately victorious. Stepping out of line is to stand firm and courageously stand your ground. Stepping out of line is to use your voice with authority to speak truth against lies. Stepping out of line is to take hold of the authority that Jesus won for you when he did what he did on the cross. Stepping out of line. Some of us today need to step out of line. David stepped out of line. And as he stepped out of line, what he realized, that the heavy, slow, cumbersome Goliath was way easier to defeat than he thought, than the armies of Israel thought he was. Because what Samuel talks about, 1 Samuel talks about, is that as Goliath approaches, Goliath is sitting down and Goliath stands up. But it's David that quickly approaches the Philistine battle line, which implies to me that David is somewhere up here by the time Goliath is killed. David is somewhere near the Philistine battle line. Today, some of us need to make a move. Some of us have been running scared. And some of us have been listening to the same rubbish and the same lies and the same old junk over and over again. And for you, for some of you, it's way longer than 6 weeks. And today is time to stand your ground. Today it's time to stand firm, to be ready for battle. It's time to take your stand. And see, David was the first one. He was the first one to cross the battle line. And today it's your turn to step out of line. So as we come now to pray, there's a few things that I want us to do. And I don't know how this is going to go in terms of how we do this. And it's going to be your choice to engage as much as anything. But there's a few questions that I have as we begin our time of ministry and worship. In a second, Julia and Tom, they're going to lead us in a song called Battle Belongs. And it's a song that might not be familiar to you, and that's okay. I'm going to encourage you to just to posture yourself for worship as they sing, and to do some business with God, to speak with God as they play and as they sing. I'm going to ask some questions. I wonder, what or whose armor are you wearing right now, today? What or whose armor are you wearing right now? I wonder, are you running scared from the battle line? Are you battling your way or someone else's way, or are you battling God's way? Are you standing your ground right now? Are you speaking truth to the lies and silencing the voice of the enemy in your life? Or are you listening over and over and over again to the same old stuff? Are you taking hold of the authority that Jesus has won for you in your life? I want to ask you to take some of those questions into our time of worship now. I'm going to pray for us. And so I invite you to stand wherever you are, or to kneel, or to lie down, or to whatever it is that you want to do. I'm going to remain here. Okay? I'm just going to remain here. I'm going to break in every so often, and we're going to work out how we pray and what we might want to pray for. But let's now posture ourselves to pray and to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to do whatever it is that he wants to do. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you that the battle belongs to you. God, we thank you that the armor is your armor in Ephesians, is yours. It's God's armor. And Holy Spirit, in these moments together now, as we pray, we ask that you would be touching lives, that you would be changing things around, that you would be empowering us, that you would be equipping us with courage and with boldness, that you would be giving us all that we need. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come and do the things that only you can do now.